Welcome to Just a Minute, the half hour of verbal fencing match that we like to think of as a television show. And my guest tonight, well, first our resident raconteur, the man with the most entertaining eyebrows in show business, and sideboards to match, Tony Slattery. Next attorney, a woman who somehow managed to combine being a Kate 80 of youth programs, the new Barry Norman, and the sexiest woman on television. She's also very good at reviewing films, Mariella Fostrop. On my right, a comedian known and loved for his gentle, self-deprecating sense of humour. Just recently, he's rather modestly produced a book, a radio show, and simultaneously a national tour, all entitled Jeremy Hardy Speaks to the Nation. He is Jeremy Hardy. And lastly, but by no means leastly, a compere and stand-up comedian who was once half of a double act called Fiasco Job Job. Yes, he was. Yes. He's also a West End playwright and ex-international porn star. It could be only Arthur Smith. They are going to try and play Just a Minute, and the rules are ridiculously simple. Until you play the game, and then they become simply ridiculous. Yes, I ask them to speak on a subject that I give them. They try and do that without hesitation, repeating anything, or deviating from the subject. They can challenge at any time. If I uphold the challenge, they gain a point. And if I don't uphold the challenge, the one who's speaking gains a point. They can repeat the subject, which is on the card in front of me. Let us begin the show with this clot on my left, who is sending me up rotten all through my announcements. He's incorrigible. And here's Tony Slattery. The subject we would like you to talk on is what the butler saw at 10 Downing Street. You have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Jeeves the butler wandered the corridors of 10 Downing Street, oak-panelled and nasty, gloomless things that they were. In one room he spied Carol Thatcher, still desperately trying to come to terms with the fact that she's got very bad makeup. And then Mark, who was wandering around the room, not knowing which door to go.
Arthur Smith, you've challenged.
You see, Margaret Thatcher's no longer Prime Minister, is she?
This was a historical account.
Arthur, I don't think he was deviating from the subject, because it could be any butler. He hasn't established which butler.
Well, which Downing Street is it?
I think 10 Downing Street does refer to the one where the Prime Minister lives, and it was the butler, obviously, who was in residence at the time of the Thatcher era was occurring.
Fascinating story, so I think you should go on.
I know, it's such an intelligent programme, isn't it? Tony, as I disagree with the challenge, you keep the subject, you get a point for a wrong challenge, and you have 41 seconds starting now.
In another chamber, Dennis was upside down in a plastic bucket of warm malt whiskey. And then the butler came across Margaret Thatcher. Was she at her desk writing? No, she was biting the heads off chickens. This was her normal...
Jeremy, you challenged. Why?
He repeated Thatcher.
He did! Correct challenge from Jeremy Hardy, so he gets a point for that. He takes over the subject. What the butler saw at 10 Downing Street. 27 seconds starting now.
These images were but incumbent...
I think there was a pause before we started. There was a hesitation. That's a bit harsh.
For laughter, I was just assuming I would get it.
Well, as there was silence when you spoke, you must be a very strange comedian.
Her.
Dennis Thatcher had a correct challenge, and we have 18 seconds for you to take over the subject with a point, of course. What the butler saw at 10 Downing Street, starting now.
The news was indeed bad. Margaret, I'm terribly sorry. You are going...
Mariella.
It repeated Margaret.
Indeed, you said Margaret Thatcher before. Well, listen, Mariella, you're concentrating. Good girl. What the butler saw...
I don't normally, you know, I'm only a woman. Normally I can't concentrate at all.
You didn't need to remind us, Mariella. It was...
What of the only or the woman?
What's that?
What of the only or the woman? Which was it I didn't need to remind
both,
you
both, my darling. I've gone. I've peaked
already. Mariella, you have the subject. What I was conveying was that you were concentrating while they were being frivolous. What the butler saw...
You were just having a big flirt. You were going, well done and well remembered, you cheeky little thing.
You little... Enough of you, Tony.
Yes.
I'm ready.
You're ready.
Put my
place. All right. What the butler saw at 10 Downing Street, Mariella. 14 seconds are left, starting now.
The butler actually saw very little at 10 Downing Street because he was tied up in a closet, blindfolded and wearing a tutu at the time, because that was how Maggie liked to see him. And she liked him to waltz out during dinner parties and she would follow the
camera. Gentlemen, hard each other.
Repetition of liked.
Yes, she liked to walk out twice.
Darn!
You have the audience with you, Mariella, that's one thing.
But thank God something.
Jeremy lost them a little while ago, but he's got the subject back and he's got 1 second starting now.
The Antichrist herself.
Russell tells us that 60 seconds are up, and whoever is speaking at that particular moment gains an extra point. It was on this occasion Jeremy Hardy, and at the end of the round, Jeremy has taken a strong lead ahead of the others. Mariella Foster, will you take the next round, please? The subject is What I Did on Richmond Hill. Can you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Well, it's funny you should mention Richmond Hill, because I do actually like to go there very often, particularly on Saturday afternoons when I take Tony for his weekly walk. He loves to don a collar and leash and go scampering off doing doggy things.
I believe she said he loves to doll a collar.
She did. Arthur, I have never said dong in my life.
You've never said it.
Right, we will move rapidly on. I think there's anything we can do at this time of the evening. And, Mariella, you still have the subject, What I Did on Richmond Hill. 50 seconds, starting now.
So there's Tony, running around.
A repetition of Tony.
You had Tony before.
You had Tony and my...
But you're part of my story. How can I not mention... Well, there's it.
But that is...
running around, you know.
That is the challenge. That is the challenge of just a minute, to continue with the story without referring to the person by the same name again.
That was making you so famous. In the story, and you... I can't believe you.
Mariana. He is a don collar, right?
But he's my friend.
48 seconds are left on What I Did on Richmond Hill, Tony, starting now.
On Richmond Hill, unlike on Blueberry Hill, where I left my heart, on Richmond Hill, I deposit...
Arthur Smith.
There's too many hills, aren't there?
You can, it's on the card. You can repeat the subject on the card. You don't have to repeat the whole phrase. You can take any word and repeat it.
No.
I've got a correct challenge, though.
Yes.
What was that?
You don't find your heart on Blueberry Hill. You leave your heart, you find your thrill on Blueberry Hill.
You are actually trying to leave your heart.
No, exactly. I am a doctor. You leave your heart in San Francisco. You find your thrill on Blueberry Hill.
And you leave your liver on Wimbledon.
And very soon I think you may need a doctor, Jeremy. But actually, no, he was not deviating or repeating anything within the rules of just a minute. So, Tony, it was an incorrect challenge. You keep the subject. What I Did on Richmond Hill, 43 seconds, starting now.
I simply walked up to the top and scanned the London skyline. Look, there's where Nicholas Parsons live. Over there, I see Jeremy Hardy and both of them communicating by semaphore and flashlights, proclaiming their love to each other. Over the London hills, I see...
Yes, sir. We've had London, we've had hills, we've had dongs, we've had the lot.
Yes, the word on the card is hill, and hills was repeated. So, Arthur, at last, you have a correct challenge. You've been trying very hard, and that's the subject. 27 seconds starting now.
Richmond Hill is an old pal of mine, and what I did on him the other night... really is too disgusting to discuss here on a family programme. However, let it be said that he did come away smelling somewhat of the deep, tumescent whiff of the River Thames, which flows so beautifully through the heart of Kenneth Williams.
Mariella, you have challenged.
Wasn't he deviating with the Thames? I mean, the Thames, Richmond Hill,
where are we? I think
the Thames
does go quite near to Richmond, so...
Not very near.
But near enough.
No, a fascinating discussion.
I know it.
How near is it?
So what's Richmond Bridge? Yeah, what does that go over?
If Richmond Hill is a man, so how How do you know the temperature?
Oh, you can go off. I know you haven't believed it, but you can take it in any way. You know, otherwise it's too impossible, Marion. I'm sorry. I can't agree with the challenge. Arthur, incorrect challenge. You have another point. You have the subject. And there are only 4 seconds left, starting now.
Walking down on Richmond Hill. Da, 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 da.
Oh, yes. Everybody first. Repetition of da. Yes. Point to Jeremy Hardy. Got him with half a second to go on the subject. Starting now. Da, do. Speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point for doing so, and has increased his lead at the end of the round. And Jeremy, we'd like you to take the next round. Will you tell us something about Aylesbury Duck? The audience like that. There are 60 seconds, starting now.
Aylesbury Duck is not rhyming slang as people often think. It is in fact a recipe involving duck and Aylesbury. What you do is you take Aylesbury, let it sit for 5 minutes, then roll it lightly in seasoned flour and shove a duck right into it. Then baste it in your own saliva and pop it in the microwave for 15 seconds. Then remove, sauté, and leave for Delia Smith to find.
I thought it was magnificent, Jeremy. And I think he should be allowed to carry on. I want to see what comes out in the end.
No, I don't. No, I think we should hear from you on Aylesbury Duck. I'm sure you've got something to say. There are 42 seconds left, starting now.
Aylesbury is twinned with a mud flat in Siberia. In that town, people often find that there are low-flying geese going by, in which case they are required to go whoop like that. And that is Aylesbury Duck. Other things that occur in the town in question are that great octopuses fly by.
Sorry, there were two flies there.
Yes, there were two flies. Yeah, we can't have too many flies on this show. No, they're all under the table at the moment. So, I agree with your challenge, Tony. You have 18 seconds on Aylesbury duck, starting now.
One of the best ways to eat Aylesbury duck is just pop it in your mouth, and then it'll go down the digestive system through the process of peristalsis and come out the other end. But another recipe is to serve it with bauxite and strontium 90. And
slight hesitation on strontium 90.
Yes. Jeremy, you had a correct challenge. You have 6 seconds on Aylesbury duck, starting now.
Duck à la ronge is a different and entirely putrid dish which involves fruit, which I don't think should be put with...
Our first-time player of the game, Jeremy Hardy, was speaking as the whistle went and gained an extra point for doing so, and has gone even further into the lead at the end of that round. If you want to know, Tony Snatcher is in second place, then comes Arthur Smith and then Mariella Fostrop. And Mariella is going to begin the next round. We are now going to have an object. Instead of me giving them a subject... presenting an object to them. Isn't that adorable? A pussycat. Right, there's the object. Mariella, you have 60 seconds. Will you talk on that object starting now?
Well, if you don't mind me saying so, and if my eyes don't deceive me, I think that that is a stuffed, dead moggy, which is something I hate more than life itself, in fact. My mother has hundreds of them. They roam around the house. They make me sneeze and cough and often cry. This particular cat, though, is a famous cat. I believe that it belongs to Dick Whittington.
There's two cats.
Give it to Arthur.
That's a correct challenge. There are 41 seconds. Will you tell us something about this object, starting now?
As a conceptual artist, I see this not as a cat, but as a tower block.
Yes.
Very long hesitation indeed.
Well, it's tied down.
It had been buried.
He tried to ride a laugh and flipped off his vehicle. Right, now then, Jeremy, you have a point for a correct challenge. It was a pause. 34 seconds starting now.
The cat is not a fish, as people often think. It is, in fact, a mammal and has a tiny pouch from which the eggs are produced.
Mariella.
It's not true. That's nonsense.
Yes, you're
seasonally adjusted, that's all.
Mariella, you have another point. You have this object here. 26 seconds starting now.
This object here actually belonged to Dick Whittington. And it is, in fact, a pantomime beep. I can't actually say what it is because I've been told that I'm not allowed to do that. I don't know very much about the said Mr. Beep.
A bit of hesitation, I'm sorry.
Yes, there was. But also,
don't
Mariella, as you have correctly...
I don't need you to condescend to me.
You're in an aggressive mood. At least I'm not behaving like Nicholas, you dirty little... You've got a couple of points.
You know, Tony, the awful thing is I am just about to give Mariella another point. She gets a bonus point because she correctly identified the object. It is Dick Whittington's cat, a reproduction of it. So she gets a bonus point for it.
What sort of ranting, drug-induced gibberish is this? Dick Whittington's cat, and it's an accurate copy.
But of course it's stuffed and dead. It's been dead for a long time, you can tell.
When I saw Dick Whittington's cat,
actually,
it was played by Joanna Lumley.
Not that. The cat talks in the pantomime. The cat said nothing. Stop going round, you're making me ill.
This is a traditional cat as... supports Dick Whittington in the pantomime, which Mariella Fostrop, with her deep intelligence, informed us. So she gets the bonus point.
Yeah!
Yes! And slattery, I'm always fair. You did have a correct challenge. You get a point for that. You have this object, and it's 12 seconds left, starting now.
This is the thing which, for many years, has been masquerading as Bruce Forsyth's toupee. It doesn't really blend in with the rest of his face, because he uses cool copper, the same type of makeup that Philip Schofield uses, not necessarily on that part.
Slattery speaking as the whistle went, and he gained that extra point for doing so. The cat will about to disappear. And yes, I thought it might.
Thank God for that.
Real thing's got something wrong with this inside. And we've reached the halfway mark in the contest. But let me tell you what the score, as we go into the halfway mark. Jeremy Hardy is still in the lead, just 3 points ahead of Tony Slattery. He's 1 point ahead of Mariella Fostrop, and she's 2 points ahead of Arthur Smith. Isn't it exciting? I'm sure you are thrilled to hear that. And after that harrowing bout of verbal aggression, it's time for us to limp off to the first aid tent. But we will be back, and we'll see you, or more likely you will see us, after this.
Just a minute, with the Evening Standard.
To Just a Minute, and let's plunge headlong into the undignified squabble that we like to call the second half of the show. I'm not going to give our panelists a subject. I'm going to ask the audience to give them a subject on which they would like one of them to speak. So, may we have some suggestions for subjects? Yes, that gentleman over there, yes.
Radio Days.
Radio Days, a lovely one, yes. Anybody, yes, another suggestion, that gentleman there. Stand up, please.
Nelson's Column.
Nelson's Column, yes, and the same to you. any other suggestions? Please stand up with a suggestion. Yes, the lady at the back there.
What do you keep under your bed?
What do you keep... Yes. What do you keep under your bed? I think that is a good subject. Arthur, would you tell us something about what you keep under your bed, Arthur? 60 seconds, starting now.
Under my bed, I keep Big Ben, Nelson's Column, and a number of other London monuments. Because I have an absolutely enormous thing on which I sleep. This is because I am very fat.
Repetition of because.
Yes, you did say because before. Mariella, we'll listen. 45 seconds are left. Will you tell us what do you keep under your bed? 45 seconds starting now.
Under my bed, I don't keep any of the same things that Arthur does. In fact, I keep lots and lots of young men.
And you've challenged.
And I said lots and lots.
Lots and
I was overcome. I wanted to tell you all about it. And now you're never going to know what I keep under my bed, and there was a lot more there.
Darn, or should I say dong?
Will you tell us? us what you keep under your bed, Tony Slattery, in 39 seconds, starting now.
Under my bed, I keep a selection of early Louis XIV 17th century ball gowns. When I fancy going out on the town, I wander up and down Piccadilly, and someone says to me, ooh, ooh, you looking at, madam?
Yes, sir. Repetition of ooh.
That's right. Ooh, ooh, well. So now you see, you lose the subject, you get it back, another point, and 25 seconds, what you keep under your bed starting now.
Under my bed, I also keep my family, but it's a bit of a problem because they tend to argue all the time and they tend to try and join in as well. Repetition of 10.
Yes. 19 seconds for you, Tony, on what you keep under your bed starting now.
Also, low-cut bras, hand-even corsets, and a rubber basque. This is generally...
Hysteria. Deviation, hysteria, and stumbling, yes, and all that sort of stuff.
Yes, laughing at his own jokes. This is right. 11 seconds for you to tell us, Mariella, starting now.
There's John, Tony, Fred, Nick, Arthur, Jeremy, Tony, Nicholas.
I haven't been under your bed twice.
No way.
Tony, I think it's you, isn't it? That's the subject. 6 seconds, starting now.
Under my bed, I keep Nicholas Parsons Strange.
Oh, yes.
I just pressed it.
I'm deviating by pressing.
I thought you mentioned, Nicholas Parsons under his bed. I think it's a very devious thought. Arthur?
Yes. Oh, right. It was a lucky challenge.
Yes.
5 seconds are left. What do you keep under your bed starting now?
Under my bed, I keep an enormous red balloon, which wells it up.
There was a hesitation.
A big hesitation. Yeah, and you've got in with half a second to go on what you keep under your bed starting now.
Dirty Bunty comics.
As you're moving with a panel round, which Jeremy Hardy will take, and the subject is Maidenhead. There's 60 seconds as usual, and you begin now.
Maidenhead is in Berks, which again is not rhyming slang, but short for Berkshire. It also means virginity, which people tend to try and lose. Although you may find that once you have lost it, a policeman finds it outside the police station and brings it round. I think...
Hesitation.
I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, Mariella. Will you tell us something about Maidenhead? 43 seconds starting now.
Maidenhead means a woman of virtue, a woman who's bright, intelligent.
There are too many women.
A woman of virtue, a woman who's bright, intelligent.
So we're going to hear from
everybody. I'm going now. I'm sorry.
No, don't.
I'm out of here.
No, you've contributed so much.
I'm getting back to all those young men under my bed.
Right, Tony, you had a correct challenge. There are 21 seconds for you on Maidenhead starting now.
Does anyone remember the piece of frozen confectionery called Strawberry Mivvies? It's unlikely that you...
Mariella Foster.
Deviation.
What's he got to do with Maidenhead? Nothing. Mariella, you have the subject back. I'm glad you stayed. 15 seconds. Maidenhead starting now.
Maidenhead is a town in the home counties where a lot of people who like to ride horses, eat cream teas, and look down on their neighbours live. It's not only...
Tony challenged.
Well, that's just gibberish. Look down on their neighbours live. I like to look down on their neighbours live.
Yeah,
they're Swedish. Like to look down on their neighbours live.
I am, funnily enough, almost Swedish. So you've almost got it right, but you've got no right to challenge me.
Tony. You're in Sweden, they do speak like that sometimes. Right, Tony.
What accent was that?
Tony, no, take that one away from Tony. Just give Tony a point there. No, he's not going to have Tony. We're in the last round. There are 7 seconds left. Mariella's never played the game before, and it's an even contest, and I think she has the benefit of the doubt, so she carries on with Maidenhead. 7 seconds starting now.
Maidenhead lies on the banks of the Thames and is very close to Marlow, Henley, and lots of other little towns.
Jeremy, yes.
Repetition of towns.
Yes, you had towns before. Yes, you got in with half a second to go.
I'm getting late.
Maidenhead, starting now.
Maidenhead begins...
The whistle then, and getting an extra point for doing so. And at the end of the round, it was a very even contest. Our joint winners this week, Mariella Foster and
Dudley Dudley!
Tony Slattery! So, from Tony Slattery, Mariella Foster, Jamie Hardy, Arthur Smith, and myself, Nicholas Parsons. It is goodbye until we seize the airwaves again with another round of Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.